Hey friends, Kenny Jiang here with the Church Online Podcast. We are here with a purpose for sure. One of the things that we've been doing going back and forth is bringing on Dave Adamson, author of the best-selling book. What's the best-selling book, Dave?
Oh, wrong one, T. I'll talk quick.
Wrong book. There you go. Meta Church. How to use digital ministry to I don't even know what the subtitle
reach
is.
People
to reach people and make
come
disciples.
On Kenny, you're my friend. Have you even bought disciples. The book? I quote you in it. Sorry, wait.
I've heard it's a good book, and so we've been going back and forth to this podcast. This is the sixth episode of this season exchange. That we've been talking about some lofty conceptual things, and I thought it would be good to bring it back down to earth. As Gary Vee says, clouds and dirt for a contrast. And we're going to talk about something really hyper practical today, and that's this topic that I'm passionate about, our team loves to do here, and Dave is a expert in this as well, repurposing your content. Because, as I say, so many people feel like they are on the, quote, treadmill of death, feeding the content beast. Just wants new content 24/7, 365. And it just feels like you're never going to win or get a break. And so there actually is a better way to do stuff in terms of workflows and publishing and actually in terms of engagement itself. And so we're going to dive into that today. But before we do that, Dave, I maybe we should just again get on the same page for definitions, like a glossary. So, like, what is at the base of it? What does it mean when we say repurpose content?
So I would put it this way. You know, I get that a lot of pastors and a lot of people in church ministry, nonprofits, feel like they are on this treadmill of death, as you call it, feeding the content beast. But man, churches, one of the things churches have down pat is content creation. We are content creation machines. We literally create a Sunday message every single week because Sunday's always coming. That's just in the main auditorium or quote unquote the adult service, right? But then also students are creating content every single week. Kids are creating content every single week. Small group leaders are creating content every week. We're great at creating content. It's not a treadmill of death. It's a treadmill that gives us life. What we're not good at is distributing that content. For the average church, what happens is the pastor can work 2 or 3 days writing this unbelievable 35-minute message, and then the audience to hear that message gets capped as soon as they turn the lights off in the auditorium on Sunday night. What I'm saying is there's a way to repurpose that content on purpose to ensure that it goes out to a much wider audience and has much greater impact in the local community that you've been called to serve at your church location. So that's what I mean when I talk about repurposing on purpose. It's not about creating more content. It's repurposing and distributing that content in a way that's efficient and effective.
Okay, so there's a lot of discussions on like the actually workflows and all that kind of stuff. But before we even get there, I guess the question is for the standard local church, not the mega church, not the one that has global reach or even national reach or statewide reach, what are the actual platforms that churches should actually be considering that they distribute content? And I'll put another constraint on it, Dave. Most churches don't have media teams. If you look at the average American church, right, you're talking somewhere between 50 and 150 people, which means you're probably talking like a solo pastor, maybe an associate pastor. You're not talking multiple people on staff that has the capacity to do that. Your lead pastor is spending 10, 15, 20 plus hours on sermon writing. So given those constraints, what are the platforms that they can adopt to publish their stuff, you know, outside
of
their website?
I'm going to get to the platform thing, but let me just pick up on something you said there, because I think there's fundamentally a philosophical shift that we need to have. You're right. These pastors, and the average church in Australia is under 100 people as well. These pastors are spending a majority of their time, or at least a large percentage of their time, writing these Sunday messages. And all I'm advocating for is for people to get more bang from their buck for those messages that they write. So it's not just being presented inside an auditorium on a specific day at a specific time, and then it's gone. It's just nobody ever sees it. It doesn't see the light of day again. What I'm advocating for is if you can work smartly and efficiently, then that message has the potential to reach more people who live within driving distance of your church building than you ever thought possible. So there's the philosophical shift that needs to happen from a what platform point of view. I mean, there's so many out there that are completely free, yeah, that don't require your resources. I would say the biggest one, the most obvious one, is YouTube. YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. It's the second most visited website in the world. And every church, every pastor has access to it for free to live stream their services and then to repurpose that message that you sent on Sunday and have it reach infinitely more people through a few simple little steps that will repurpose that on purpose. And some of these things don't require you to have a multimedia team. It doesn't require video editors. You can use plug-in apps like, for example, Descript, which you can literally, it will transcribe your message for you, and then you can take out any bits you don't want, and it will edit it all for you and export it as a new video file. And it doesn't take very long. It doesn't require any Adobe Premiere skills or anything like that. There's so many different ways you can do it if you work smarter.
I guess, so this is going to be pushback again, because I feel ding, like ding. YouTube, everyone's heard that answer. But again, the way you drifted in your answer, uh-huh, right? And thank you for finally answering my question after you went through.
Well, there's a philosophical side to this, Kenny, which I don't think your question set up very well. We're asking people to make this monumental leap into the video editing world, and I'm trying to set up why that is important to make that monumental leap, because it closes the gap between what people currently are experiencing as reality and what they could be achieving. And again, for me, I'm going to restate this. For me, it's not about having that national or international or statewide reach. For me, it's about helping pastors of 150 to, you know, people church to have more and greater impact in their context, in their local community. And that fundamental shift of not calling it the content treadmill of death, and to understanding that context is king on social media then and online, that's when you can, that's the why behind the what.
Yeah, so here's the pushback on YouTube, and I think this is why there is a gap or a chasm between people kind of appreciating and understanding, oh, I should be on YouTube, and then not actually being on YouTube, right? Like, there's not follow through on that thing, and I think this is what it comes down to, is that you put something on YouTube, and the experience is that you don't actually get viewers in your zip code, that it's exposed worldwide, you get tons of reach, great, hallelujah. However, if my actual objective, functional objective, is to reach people down the street, couple of blocks from here, within a driving radius of 10, 15 minutes, how do I reach them with YouTube? Because there is no like tools with a flip of the switch where you can define that. And the algorithm isn't working where it's kind of like Facebook or Insta or TikTok, where it's my friends that actually see it necessarily as the majority of the algorithm. So how do we overcome either that misinformation or the confidence to be able to say, hey, I'm going to go all in on YouTube, and that's actually practically going to reach the people in my zip code. I think what's missing, to be honest, for the digital influencers and the teachers is case studies to show that actually happens.
You make a
what say you, make you Dave?
A,
what say
you make
you?
A really
what
good point you? I would say that some of those tools do exist that allows you to leverage YouTube in a way that reaches the people who live within your zip code, but we've not processed the idea of we've not processed how to make that happen, because too many pastors, too many church leaders, they leverage YouTube in the same way that we used to leverage, you know, Vimeo, You know, it's the place where we just store our videos and we put it up there and it's just there. So then if we need stuff, we can go looking for it. But it's actually, if we start to see it as a library of videos, as an evergreen shelf of our content that is infinitely searchable, and we apply some search, some simple searchability tools to it, it actually becomes something that can reach the people who live within our local context. One of the easiest ways to do that is leveraging a hashtag. You know, the way that the YouTube descriptions are set up, you can put three hashtags in the YouTube description that will actually appear as a searchable item on the video when you pull it up on YouTube. And one of those searchable hashtags should be your location. You know, if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, make Atlanta a hashtag, or Atlanta Church a hashtag. Then it's more likely to reach the people who live within your local community. That's how you can start to make your zip code one of the hashtags that you leverage. But also on top of that, there are default channel tags and default video tags that if you apply those things, especially one of the things I lean most heavily into is the default channel tags. It makes your channel, your specific church channel, more searchable. So if in, so for example, you ask for a case study. Here's a case study. What we did at North Point, when I was working at North Point in Atlanta, some of your listeners might know of Andy Stanley. He was my boss for 7 years. And part of what I did from 2017 onwards was to update and optimize North Point's YouTube channel. And one of the key things we did was we updated the channel tags that made the channel more searchable to our audience. And for those tags, what we used was multiple things. First of all, we obviously used Andy Stanley because that's a big draw card, but I used common misspellings of Andy Stanley's name, you know, taking the E out of Stanley. I used North Point as one of our channel tags. So North Point, two words, North Point, one word, North Point with an E on the end, because that was a common misspelling, plus North Point Community Church. But then we started to lean into North Point Alpharetta, North Point, which was a suburb that North Point is in, North Point Atlanta, Atlanta Church, Alpharetta Church. These things made our channel infinitely more searchable. And it did for this reason. When somebody who lived within a geographical radius, like a, let's say a 10 mile radius of the church building, when they typed in, how do I read the Bible, right? Because Google searches are based not just on the keywords and the key phrases you type in, but also your geographical location, YouTube would pull in Alpharetta Church because it saw that you were living within a 10 mile radius of Alpharetta. So there are actually tools that you can use. And these are default things, Kenny. You can do this once and then forget about it. Unless your church building happens to move to a new zip code, then you might want to update it. Or if you get a new pastor in or a new church name. But essentially, you can set this up and then forget about it. And YouTube and Google do the work for you. But we don't know how to do this. If I had a dollar for every church that I've worked with that didn't have any channel tag set up, I wouldn't be needing to plug a book or have my social media handles on a cup.
I think for the most part, I think most communications professionals out there are not YouTube. They're not paying attention to YouTube for the most part. It is not their tip of the sword. And even the most fundamental things that you would do on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, et cetera, they're correct. Not even doing it on YouTube. And I think that's where the need is. And I think actually one of the things that you and I have been hearing from some leaders is they need help on actually just getting this kind of stuff done. And I think we're going to be able to help a lot of churches through Church Tech today to optimize your YouTube channel and have some resources available. However, I'm going to pull this conversation back to what we started with, is repurposing the content. I think one of the questions, I think, and the challenge again is that something that is predictable? And then in terms of a priority, because I've got only, so many choices to actually put on my calendar to actually do, is what other platforms are there that someone should be thinking about that would have the efficiency or actual effectiveness for
That is the best question you've asked in this series of podcasts that we've done, so thank you, because finally it took six episodes, but I've got a really good question finally. So here's the interesting thing, Kenny. can I provide some data for you? Because I think it might be super, super helpful. So there was a study done in 2020, in the first quarter of 2020. Almost 50,000 churches were surveyed. And essentially what this organization found out was that the average length of a Sunday sermon, Sunday message in America was 37 minutes. Now, the reality is, though, that if you look at the data for a YouTube video, for example, the average YouTube video 5 years ago was 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Currently, it's 11 minutes and 40 seconds. And it's slightly more than that if you want to, for the videos that are landing on the homepage of YouTube as soon as you log in, right? So it's essentially a half to a third less than what the average length of a message is. So what I'm suggesting is, whenever I give that stat, people say, so you only want me to preach for 11 minutes? No, what I'm saying is preach for 37 minutes, because that in the room experience can allow itself for a 37 minute length message. But when you post that online, don't just post 37 minutes. It's three times longer than what people are, the length of what people are typically watching. So repurpose it on purpose by chopping it up into 4 minute, 7 minute little sections, and then provide your viewers with steps they can take, links that they can take to get to that full length message. So one of the things I tell churches to do all the time is try to take, and a lot of churches do this now, this is the typical thing that churches do. They take out a 60 second portion of the message, like a 1 point or something along those lines, and they post that to Instagram, they post that to TikTok, they post that to Facebook, always making sure that you have links in the caption that take people to the next step that you want them to do. Now, I think going from a 60 second, a 1 or 2 minute clip of the video to a 37 minute clip means that the next rung on the ladder is way out of reach for a lot of people. So yeah. What I suggest is chop up that 4 minute to 7 minute little clip as well, and have the 2 minute lead to the 4 to 7 minute, and then that leads to the 37 minutes. So it's a three-tiered process. Think of it as a three-rung ladder, and you're helping people take the next step. So if that first 1 to 2 minute section catches my attention because it says in that, here's one thing you can do today to save your marriage, and I go, that was amazing. Yes, that applies to my context right now. I'm gonna click on that link to get me to the 4 minute version, because that's gonna provide me with some more info. And I learned from that, oh my gosh, there's 5 things I could do to save my marriage today. Well, yes, Mr. Church Leader, I want to watch the 37 minute now because you spoke to my context. And here's the reality though, Kenny, church leaders across the world do such a good job of this every single week, of creating content that helps people, that's evergreen. You know, that message that you wrote, Church Leader, 3 years ago about hope, that's still relevant, probably more relevant today than it was 3 years ago when you first preached it. So go back and repurpose that on purpose. Chop out that 1 to 2 minute section, then chop out that 4 to 7 minute section, and apply those to YouTube with those channel tags, with those location hashtags. That's when you're actually going to become helpful. That content is going to be evergreen. That content is going to be more efficient and effective than it ever was. And it only requires a few simple steps that don't take up a lot of somebody's time. Like I said before, you use a platform like Descript. I know you know many others that would do that, a lot of that hard work for you. It can be something that just becomes part of what you do. Now, I know there are church leaders out there who go, I lead a church of 80 people. My full-time job is visiting people in hospital, writing messages. I don't have time to do this. I bet there's somebody in your church who could take this over for you. And they're probably like in their early 20s or late teens. Like, let's get them involved. Let's create opportunities for people to participate in the life of the church by doing something that's a little bit more technically based, but allows them to get involved in an area of passion for them, in an area that is native to them: TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.
Now, here's a question about video. Is it okay? Because look, everyone's copying everybody, right? So YouTube added shorts, just like Reels from TikTok. Like, everyone's trying to become everybody else. I have this rant that I think I should write, is that we should just have one social media platform, because no one wants to be different. Wow. Everyone wants to be the same. But anyway, is it okay to post the same clip? If I have a 60 second clip, can I post it to everywhere? Can I post it as a as a reel, as a Facebook post, as a Facebook reel,
my short answer is okay? Yes. With a little asterisk next to it, and the asterisk pertains to Instagram and Facebook. But essentially, you got to understand what the demographics are on each of those platforms. So if you're posting that little short clip to LinkedIn, you're going to reach a completely different audience than the one that you might reach on TikTok, because we know that the demographics of each of those platforms is vastly different. YouTube becomes a place, again, understanding what you're using YouTube for. YouTube is the place for, in my mind, church awareness. It's a church awareness church awareness platform, because you have the opportunity to reach people who are just simply asking questions. And I know we talked about that, you know, zero moment of truth thing in a couple of episodes ago. If you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that as well, because it dovetails into this one. Yes. But the idea is YouTube becomes a place where people can become aware of your church for the very first time if you leverage it in the way that it's meant to be used. When it comes to Facebook and Instagram, that's where I say you can post the same content, but I would separate them by a day or two, only because if somebody likes something on Instagram and then they see the same thing on Facebook, they're not likely to engage with it on Facebook, or vice versa. And so the post on that platform might get a little bit less reach. But if you separate it, so for example, you do a, let's say you do a 2-minute video, a 2-minute reel, right? That highlights what happened on Sunday. Hey, here's what Pastor Kenny spoke about on Sunday. Post that to Instagram on Monday, but then don't post it on Facebook until Friday or Saturday. Saturday would be better, as a lead into what you're going to be preaching about on the next day. Does that make sense? So it's leveraging the same content. You're just separating them by a couple of days to allow them to get more engagement, more reach separately.
That's a good word to consume and to discuss internally. I also think that instead of just, now we're talking about repurposing, but I think riffing off of content that you've actually created is also extremely helpful. Meaning, we have a process called, we call it the 3D matrix. There's different things you would do, different dimensions. But one of the axes in the 3D matrix is form factor, and how you talk about it, how you package, right? It's basically what is the form that you present the materials into. The content platform is really important. So one of the things that we're seeing that is being effective is to take a couple of core different things that you I guess they would be lenses, different lenses of that same content. So you created the sermon material already, and so one lens is the TLDR, right? Too long, didn't read, give me the bullet points, Cliff Notes version, right? Give me the just the headers of each of the paragraphs, just the thesis points, and just get in and out, right? I think the other one would be, whenever you're doing 10, 20, 30 hours worth of research and writing, you tend to have lists that get built, a list of arguments or anything like that. Take a subpoint and build a list, right? Another one is a story. There's always some application. There's a reason why you wrote this sermon. Something happened, right? The Holy Spirit gave you this message for a reason in the context of something in your ministry. Talk about the story that leads up to and point to it. And the last one is, I think, you know, Dave, you're actually really good at this, is coming up with a polarizing point of view, always arguing with someone. You know, some people, they just argue with anything you give them, anything you put in front of them. Well, try to be one of those people. And actually just present, I say it in jest, but I think you know that online, that when you have a contrarian view, when you have a polarizing point, when you're having the hyperbole or the extremes, you start to engage people. Now, the point isn't to be argumentative, obviously, but the point is to tease out and change the field of vision for someone, right, in the context of whatever they're thinking through. So there's a whole bunch of other ways of talking about things, but I think repurposing is great. But repackaging or recontextualizing, I think.
I would actually encourage all of your listeners to rewind a little bit and go through all of those processes that you just said, because what we've been talking about primarily has been video, right? But we haven't even talked about turning your sermon notes into a blog, for example, and using that on your church website to give people another way of accessing that same piece of content that, you know, can be done simply, you know, I mean, gosh, Descript, Rev, Otter. There's so many different ways that you could transcribe that and turn that into a blog. So we haven't even talked about that. And then, you know, Instagram posts using a bottom line from your message. Like, there's so many different ways we can repurpose. But I think what happens in church, and you've experienced this, Kenny, we get stuck in one way of doing it. Oh, we have a photo of the preacher and then we do the one quote and that's what we do. No, there's so many different ways to do that. Turn your sermon notes. If you've got a 5-point sermon, turn that into a carousel on the church's Instagram page. And you're going to get so much more reach, so much more engagement based on a carousel, because Instagram is pushing carousels at the moment. So, you know, there's little things like that that you can leverage to repurpose on purpose. I think what happens is we get caught up in two things. Either we get caught up in the idea that video is the best tool and let's just put all our eggs in the video basket, which I think is okay in some cases, but then we can't do that at the detriment of overlooking blogs, overlooking carousels, overlooking all these other tools that we have available to us.
Absolutely. And then again, I think you could use some online tools to help you do that kind of stuff, right? Like, there are things like, again, you mentioned Descript is a great video editor that allows you to edit via text transcript, not by the video feed. There's another tool that our team uses called Summary, S-U-M-M-A-R-I, is the name of the tool. And so basically you put into it a web page URL or a doc. You created Google Doc with a link. And it creates an AI-based summary of the actual text. So you can take your sermon manuscript or transcript and put it in there, and it creates a very organized summary. And that could become a social media post, it could become a blog post, it could become an email. There's so many different things. You could read and make it a transcript for a set of reels where it's just clip after clip after clip, where you're just reading off the summary points, because it creates a bullet list of summary for you. So anyway, I feel like I get excited about this repurposing stuff. I don't think that we have enough of this conversation in the social media content, editorial calendaring, all those conversations and plans. We don't talk about this enough.
Completely agree. And again, I know that what we don't want to do is give pastors who are overworked, who are overwhelmed, one more thing to add to their plate, right? We don't want to do that. But what we are saying is we just want to help you work smarter, not harder. We believe so strongly in the messages and the content that you create that we want to help you get that content out to more and more people who live within driving distance of your church building. I've never met a pastor, Kenny, who said, you know what, I really want to reach less people and I want my messages to be less effective. So if there's some simple tools that we can give and equip pastors with and people in church ministry with, then I think that's a win all around.
Awesome. Well, I think this is a good point to break, because I think one of the things is that we fire hose people with so many ideas, they get overwhelmed. I will say this is one of those things where, again, I think authentically different than other podcasts or other shows, et cetera, like, we are very, very interested in hearing what you have to say. So I would invite you to email me at Kenny at Church Tech Today with questions. And we would take Q&A, and maybe we do an Ask Me Anything AMA session at some point. But we would love your questions, and we would start to answer some of them online here if we get your actual real life situations and circumstances that we can actually help interpret and maybe give you some counsel and some even pointing to some resources or case studies that where other people are doing good work. So please reach out to me at Kenny at Church Tech Today. In the meantime, if someone wanted to follow your content and actually want to reach out to you directly, what's the best way to do that?
Best way would be on social media, Aussie Dave at on everything, A-U-S-S-I-E. But also, Kenny, I would love for us to continue discussing the possibility of pulling together some groups, giving church leaders access to us and the stuff that we've learned in some capacity. I'd love for us to continue to unpack something along those lines that makes it easy.
Our team at Church Tech Today have been thinking about this, because what we are realizing is that people are tired of conferences. People are tired of webinars, and they want to work on their ministry and not just hear about what they should be doing with their ministry. And so I think maybe if we get enough interest, and this is, again, it's up to you as the listener, if you actually have interest in getting involved in some, like, actually roll up your sleeves, doing some work on your ministry, I could see us even doing a session on, like, mm-hmm. building an editorial calendar or some workflow rhythm of what to do with your sermons every week so that it becomes regular. And then once you standardize things, then you can actually assign it to volunteers or other staff members, so it gets off of your plate personally and actually involves other people in the work.
So what would be the best way? Because I'm in on this, 100% in. So what would be the best way for people who are watching this on the website or YouTube or, you know, in the podcast or listening in podcasts, what's the best way for them to flag with you their interest in doing something along those lines, to doing a thing where they could, you know, watch a cohort or a masterclass where we set those systems out and walk people through it step by step? How do they, like, express that interest to you?
Yeah, I guess what we'll do is we'll set up a page at churchtechtoday.com/poll. And there'll be a simple survey there that if you can go there now.
Okay, P-O-L-L-E.
Yes, like a survey.
P-O-L-L.
I'm wondering if should we choose something else?
What if it was?
This is one of those things. This is one of the things from a communications person's perspective that you're always.
What if it was interest?
What's a better keyword for a URL? Interest. Okay, so churchtechtoday.com/interest. And now I'm going to have to set up redirects for P-O-L-L and P-O-L-E.
What if it was churchtech?
So churchtechtoday.com/interest. There'll be a short survey there to share with you some topics that we're considering for workshops. You vote, you decide, and then you'll get to work on your ministry business with us together.
And
let's do that. Let's figure something out in the next 30, 60 days to try to experiment.
That's great. Seriously, I love that you're going to do that. Sorry for giving you more work to do now.
Not a problem. This is a joy. This is like connecting with ministry leaders and trying to figure out how we can actually use the tools to further ministry.
I'm here to help. I'm here for it, Kenny. I'm here to help.
This is what we're here for. So, okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Make sure you go to churchtechtoday.com/interest, and we'll check you here next time on the Church Online Podcast. I'm Kenny Jang, Dave Adamson here, signing off.